Thank you for trusting me, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I hope you know that twice in the Bible, once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament, the Bible reveals to us that Christ comes and sings with us. Of course, the pastor quoted that promise, where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, he's here. We don't have to shout him down. We don't have to clap him down. I've been where they try to do that. Actually, brother and sister, we don't even have to faith him down. It's a sovereign promise from our sovereign Savior. If two or three of us gathered up, he's here. Psalm 22, he comes and sings with us. Hebrews 2, he comes and sings. That put a little more understanding in our singing. Phil, it does most of the chief singing for us, calls it a joyful noise. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like to preach to you. I really think it'll be not long. On the simplicity that's in Christ. Brother Paul was starting on that back in the kitchen, and so I provoked him a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place called upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 18. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Pose the question. Let me go ahead. What will you? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You'll catch my title as we read the first four verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you've not accepted, you might well bear with him. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Brother Jumpmaster, and all you praying folks. for praying. I'm acutely aware of my need for the Holy Ghost to be the teacher tonight. Now, I read a good part of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 so that you could see the spiritual standing of this church. That they were saints, not Christians. Their confirmation in grace, Brother Ryan, was there. They had all wisdom and utterances. They came behind in no gift. They had people being saved and baptized. Yet they were having little problems in the church. They were not striving together for the gospel. They're like a lot of churches nowadays. They're striving against one another. I call it Corinthianism. Is Christ divided? He goes on a little bit. No, he's not divided, but we do divide up and faction off, and ours is the right way. We are, in my former eschatology, we are the overcomers and y'all are the shortcomers. Brother Paul and I was in a meeting, and the brother was trying to be polite and cordial, and he said they had cousins that was there. We weren't cousins, we brothers in Christ. But that's his idea, and ours somewhat worse than that on some matters. Now, there is another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel to beware of. Minds corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Let me give you the definition of simplicity, and I have my best friend. Well, let me go on with this. If he's here, I would not try to pronounce that haplotis Greek word. That is sincerity without dissimulation or self-seeking. Simplicity. Not simple like a dog in the yard. There are many mysteries about Christ, many complexities in life, in our home, and in the churches. Now let me give you Holman's Bible Dictionary definition of simplicity. A simple person is one who is open, honest, and direct, without hypocrisy. Sometimes there is the idea of uneducated, inexperienced, or unsophisticated. Now that's what the world thinks about the quote, simple-minded Christian. I was on the university campus, and when a fellow said, "You simple-minded moron," talking about me believing the Bible. And I said, "Well, you high-minded idiot, what do you believe?" And we went into a discussion about that. One more thing about this simplicity. It shows up. That's the person that the church designates to settle legal matters. Well, you're listening to that now. The one that is least esteemed. Now, you brethren that know about that, when we get through, advise me on that. How do you determine which brother in the church is the least esteemed? Let me go on. Trust in the Holy Ghost to be the teacher. I want to share this with you, but I want to preface it with this. Ours is not the first nor the only generation that has had to face this serious, serious problem of another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit, another gospel, and having to be determined. I pray that when we get through, we'll see the extreme importance of the preacher's determination to know Christ among you and Him crucified. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if we don't get back there. Secondly, that is to keep His message simple. Christ-centered. Jesus, God's Holy One. God's the Messiah. Thank you, Brother Barney Bryant, pointed out. I looked it up. Every time Holy One is used in the Bible, it's referring to God's Messiah Son, virgin-born Son. Secondly, the devil's determination to turn our minds from Christ. That is to confuse us as to who Jesus Christ really is. People, there is another Jesus being preached today. They have a lot of charisma, but if you know the Bible, it's another gospel. So it's another Jesus. and then the saints' determination to know Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship in His suffering. That is, to have our mind and heart set on our Lord Jesus Christ, our first love. First, the preacher's determination to know Christ among you, not with excellent, intelligent opinions of men, especially the clergy. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I should have told you to stay there. That's my mistake for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. But I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, evidently from the first chapter and this one and all the way through the Corinthians, the message of the crucified Christ was not being preached very strongly. Probably because of the high-minded Corinthians that prided themselves in these matters. And then the Jew man who really is still wobbling around about this Messiah. Hebrews, a book of Hebrews that Paul wrote addresses that. We need the message of the crucified Christ. Jewel and I was in Vermont, and I went in a motel to get us a room. And it was Hindu people, and they had some of their little religious artifacts up there. And Sister Nita, I was interested. My question was this. Now, after we established this was some of their religious display, trinkets and gadgets, and I didn't use those words till later. But I said, which one of these gets your sins out from between you and God? Sins forgiven. Wrong question. No, it's the right question. And I went into it just briefly, how that our King died for us. Amen, Brother Carter. Our King died for us. King, the King of His universe. Jesus Christ, the King, prophesied to be born King, lived King, came into town riding on a broken coat of an ass as the King. He didn't offer Himself as King. He's King. Died King, resurrected King. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. That King died for us. Those Hindu people listened. Well, we went on to our room, and my wife's a very able wife. She knows how to pack for me. Part of it is popcorn that you put in the microwave to keep me from having withdrawals, Sister Nita. Well, they got a budget room, I'm sure. I'm kind of like that. No microwave. So I went back down to the office. I saw one down there. And I said, I'm not complaining. There's no microwave in the room, and I wondered if I could use yours here in the lobby. Well, yes, of course. So I put it in there and sat down to wait on it, and two of those people came over and sat down at the table. Let me remind you, my brother and sister, and anybody else that's interested, the gospel message of our resurrected ruling King that died for us, 3 days and three nights He came out of the grave, that is the power of God unto salvation. And God uses it. Somebody asked me, I shared that somewhere, and said, how many of them did you win to Jesus? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ won all of His elect. That's what He does. He uses the gospel. Now, human wisdom does not come up with this, brother and sister. What? Our King died for us? That's not human wisdom. Now, listen, they probably, well, the Jews for sure, they just knew their King was coming. Set up an earthly kingdom again. Some are still waiting for that. And He's building His kingdom now on earth. But with the pomp and the glory of ruling on this earth. But He didn't come like that. in a stable, put in a hay box, manger, lived a lowly life, died a criminal's death. Our King! I'm talking to you about the importance that we need to be determined that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of Holy Scripture is important. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now the Jews knew that. Listen to Caiaphas, John chapter 11. One of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. And that man gave consent to the death of Jesus Christ. Why? He didn't believe the Scriptures. John 18, 14. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people, that Jesus Christ, God's anointed one, and that he died for our sins is vital to us. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15. Romans 3. Whom God has set forth, this King, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past. I take that to be the Old Testament saints. Through the forbearance of God. Isaiah chapter 53. Let's turn there. Keep your finger in 2 Corinthians 11. I intend to come back there. I may not, but I intend to. Isaiah chapter 53. What we have here, you well-taught people know, Brother Lee. The reason it's so easy to preach the Bible here, they're accustomed to a steady diet of it. Isaiah chapter 53. If you read it all, it is a word picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of his hand shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressions. He shall bear the sins of many and made intercession for the righteous. Christ's death, his crucifixion. We need to be determined at least once in a while make that a part of our message. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. I have gone back, brother, you old sovereign grace people, I have gone back to saying I found the Lord. That's the way I started out, Brother Lee. And I thought I found him. Now the truth is he found me. He was not lost, I was lost. But it's very surprising to me, some people will say, when I say, you know, I found the Lord, and I've had old lost, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, Southeast Arkansas, redneck, Hicksville, USA, say, oh yeah, how'd you do that? The door's wide open, Sister Jordan. If they want to know how I found the Lord, I can start out with saying this. Actually, I couldn't go to him, he come to me. And he used to say, with the message of his death, his burial, with his virgin birth, his sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Just a little brief of the gospel message. And we do that. Some Arabs are buying into our part of the world. I got my suspicions about it, but it don't matter. We become friends with some of them and one of the brethren deacon in the church, and my brother-in-law did some work for him, and that throwed us together, and he listened to the gospel. And Sunday, he came to the meeting. A Muslim. Don't you know that God saves Muslim people? One was in the church down in Arlington with Brother Walter Sanders. I talked to him. Do you know, I was privileged to read the Koran myself. I had to force myself to read it. Anyway, he looked around there, and we was in there a couple of nights ago, my wife and I, and brother-in-law, and he's came. He said, you know, I came to your church. And I said, it's not mine, it's the Lord's. He said, well, I came. I'm coming back. I said, come on back. I'm testifying, people. I was making a point. God saves sinners. The reason he does, Christ died for our sin. Propitiated God. God is satisfied concerning human beings on earth full of sin and needing a Savior, whether 717 or 77. God is satisfied with the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him my darling. Why? That our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. The simplicity that's in Christ. Remember my first point, people? Our determination, especially preachers and deacons and teachers, our determination to keep our message Christ-centered. Now I'm going to read most of this, not for time's sake, because I want to. All of our doctrine should point people to Jesus Christ. Years ago, I was over equipment at a meeting, and I said, if you up in the air concerning the doctrine of election, come down on God's side. You be right. Dead right. Now, don't be like some of the primitive Baptists I know. They dead right. But I'm afraid the emphasis is on dead instead of right. Two old primitive Baptist preachers came to me. Joe Hamrick, C.M. Haygood. And they straightened me out about some primitive Baptists are not dead. And old Brother Haygood, his youth priest to some of his family there at Hopewell, he really got rough with me, and I said, sir, listen, I know, I can tell you still got a little fire in your gut. Why don't you come over to Southeast Arkansas, meet with the primitive Baptists, and try to help them. They meet once a month. They brag on themselves, it's evident. They criticize all the rest of us out there. They have no outreach. They criticize us. Then they contradict what they say they believe. They call their meal pot luck. We've been going on, 4 or 5 years now. Some of those primitive Baptists want a balance. They know, I said to them early on, you don't think the elect are already saved, all we got to do is go tell them. I said, you don't mind me asking a question like that, do you? And one of the fellows said, sure we do. Why? If I've done something? Okay. Whew. Let me start with this. Let me give my first line again. All of our doctrine should point men to Christ, away from the wisdom of men to the wisdom of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans 6, Christ was crucified for us. I am crucified with Christ. That's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Also, we were chosen according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We're predestined. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. I preached that to Assembly of God church group, and when I got to that, I said, now the image of His Son is not standing in the bow of the boat commanding the elements. It's not walking the bank, healing the sick, not raising the dead. It's loving obedience to His Father. And that's what He's predestined to us. Oh, that's what explains some of the thorns in my tender part of my life. sanctification. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Brother Paul. He's on the next page that I ain't got there yet. Go ahead, brother. Help me. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, all those are wonderful, good words and terribly important doctrine. But it's in Christ Jesus. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. It just gets better and better. Now, this sanctification, I understand it to be twofold. Christ sanctifies us. You can't believe the truth until you're separated by the Spirit. And then He sanctifies us with the truth. Thy word's truth. That's John chapter 17. Christ is made unto us sanctification. We are continually sanctified by His word. Our hope, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Brother Paul. Help me, brother. Our acceptance to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Our access, A-C-C-E-S, our access, for through Him, that is, Christ Jesus, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. I like to spring that one on my United Pentecostal in-law, outlaw family. We have the Trinity right here, the Godhead, in one verse. Access again, Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Are you ready? By the faith of Him. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Faith of Jesus Christ. One of my bestest old friends, old deacon, Marnie Thompson, asked me, what does that mean? It's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's English. You'd have to have help to misunderstand that. Certain clergy will gladly help you misunderstand it. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that He gives to you, deacon. That faith is a gift, is a wonderful, undisputable truth. It's a gift. It's given to us to believe. Well, to suffer too, but to believe on His name. Mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. That's after His resurrection. The man Christ Jesus. The mediator. Atonement. On and on and on I could go with this. The riches of His glory. Our hope of glory. What is? Christ in you. The God-called preaching people must be determined to keep our message simple. The simplicity that's in Christ. What? Christ-centered. Calling people to Christ. That's the reason I say, I'm going to say it tonight if I don't miss it. Come to Christ. You got problems and struggles in your life? Come to Christ. You're lost. Doomed and damned and deserving hell. Come to Christ. That's not to close. I was just reviewing it so I wouldn't miss it. Second, the devil's determination to confuse us concerning Jesus Christ. That is to confuse us as to who Jesus Christ really is. Take heed. Many shall come in my name saying I'm Christ and shall deceive many. I think that means they come saying He's Christ. I don't think they come and saying they Christ. They're coming saying He's Christ. And shall deceive many. They say, but the Christ they're talking about is another Jesus. Who was that telling us at the table about the fella closing the prayer with the lodge boys in Jesus' name? Oh, no, man, that's strictly forbidden. But some preachers won't pray in Jesus' name in public, afraid they're going to offend somebody. Hey, say it I just preached, we got a lot of new people, and I just preached not long ago on Sunday morning, praying in Jesus' name. The whole message Sunday morning was praying in Jesus' name. I didn't know that. According to Brother Barney Bryant, I just stumbled in off of the street and God saved me. It was a little more involved than that. My girlfriend invited me to church. And I went so I could sit with her. And the gospel took me by the heart 55 years ago. I'm feeling pretty good about it tonight. Take heed, brethren. There is another Jesus, another Spirit, another gospel. Now, these people are not just untaught. They're determined in this. And if you don't know the Scriptures, some of it sounds good. But if you have read your Bible and believe the Scriptures, it sounds good, but it's not good and sound. I may not get into that tonight. I may save that for in the morning. Now, Paul's determination was, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He has much power. Satan has much power. Let me show you how much power he does have in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel set his face in prayer and fasting 3 full weeks. The answer came 21 days later, and the angel said, your prayer was heard at the first. Now, that's the prayer going up, people, but the answer was hindered 21 days. That's how long Daniel was praying, 3 full weeks. War! There's war around our prayer. Keep praying. If it takes 21 days or 21 months or 21 years, keep praying. If you care about something or someone, don't act like you don't care. Pray. If you try to act like you don't care, it's going to burn a hole in you somewhere. These are not just untaught people. Their Jesus is not the Christ of the Bible. Satan has many devices. And I left the J little on this one. Satan has many devices, but this Jesus lie is the most damning. Damns people's soul to hell. I was in a tractor place the other day. Brother Barney said, Brother Carter said the other day, maybe 3 months or 6 months. But the other day I was in a tractor place there. This big black guy came right up in my face. Hey, Brother Carter! Hey, I'm glad to see you. About 10 years ago, you made me so mad I could paint your ugly head off. Make sure I still got my knife in my pocket. And he told a story. I come out of John chapter 2. The disciples believed. The disciples believed and remembered. That feast day, many believed in his name. When they saw the miracles which he did, but Christ did not commit himself to them because he knew all men needed not that man should testify. Man, can I bring you up to date on this? He don't need you. You need him. How much better off is he since you got on the team? We don't add anything to him. We can be submissive and obedient. And he uses his people. He really does. Back to my story. And that guy says, I got so mad that night, I said in my head, I said, I believe in Jesus, crazy honky preacher. But you just kept saying, but has Christ committed himself to you? He said, well, Carter, after about 9 years, I got down before the Lord himself, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I bowed in my head and in my heart and in my knee, and I prayed. And I asked him, please save my wretched soul. And I stayed right there. He said, never tell anybody around here, listen, man, everybody was wondering, what's this going to turn into down here? He said, Jesus done committed himself to me. Listen, God don't have to show the preacher about you. He knows you. He knows your down settings. He knows your upright. And he understands your thought before you think about thinking them. This is the Christ that we just keep calling people to. The King of His universe. Now, the saints' determination, and we must keep this determination up front, people, to keep our witness Christ-centered. Now, it's all right to tell them how good God's been to you. That's wonderful. The deacon up the house, he said, in one of his presentations, he said, well, the least we can do is tell people, God's been mighty good to me. Well, that's a good place to start, right? That's a good place to finish up, too. But somewhere in there, let's point them to the resurrected, ruling King, Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear the witness that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power of God. If we turn back to 1 Corinthians, Christ, the power of God, over and over. Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, 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 Christ-centered. Hear the witness. Face the warning. Revelation chapter 2, the Ephesus church had a little problem. Now, they have many great things going for them, like Corinthians. I'm talking about the church at Ephesus. But it had something against them. What happened? Anybody? Did y'all hear Brother Paul? They had left their first love. And your first love is not your first girlfriend. Your first love is not your preaching, Brother Paul. The first love is not your ministry. The first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they left him. Now fast forward to the church at Laodicea. Their self-ego inflated opinion of themselves is not the problem. That they're rich, increasing good, and have need of nothing is not the problem. That the shame of their nakedness doth appear not the problem. That's a byproduct of the problem. The problem is they're not supping with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the principle is the same with the church at Ephesus, the church at Laodicea. What is it? It's not Christ-centered anymore. I was in Buckeye, Arizona, a little old roachy motel. That thing was so questionable around there and people bumping around there and rattling my doorknob. Women saying, are you lonely tonight? And I just scooted the Chester drawer up on by the door. Maybe I could take a little nap before it get daylight. I wanted to wait till it was plumb daylight, Brother Ryan, before I opened that door and went trotting out to my truck. Somewhere around 3 a.m. I woke up wide awake. That's unusual for me. This came to my mind and my spirit. And I could say, no, Lord, my heart is not cold. But I could not say, yes, Lord, my heart's hot. Now, you women that cook, what is between hot and cold? You said it, lukewarm. And people, this is still embarrassing to me. I hate to tell it on myself. But this came to me very, very clearly. Somebody said, was it an audible voice? Oh, it was much louder than that. You know about that, Brother Paul. This is what the Spirit of God impressed on me. I would that you was cold. Now, I'm not indicting you. I'm just sharing with you that testimony. But it may be that God would rather you be cold than just complacent or inflated with your ego evaluation of yourself, how spiritual you are. I don't think that's physical goods in view there in Laodicea. They got the goods. They got it. And they got it going on. So, hear the witness. Face the warning. Is someone or something come between you and Christ? You know what my wife said? Anyone or anything between you and Christ is an idol. I won't tell you where I was at. I got pretty firm about this. Next night, sweet sister came to me and she said, Brother Johnny, I went out there last night and I put my key in my brand new car and I turned the key and it went rump, rump. You can tell it's an older thing. All you got to do now is get in there and mash the brake and punch a button. It grunted. A couple times she got off of it right quick. When she turned it back on, it went click, click. A brand new car. She said, I just put my arms on the steering wheel and my head on my arms and said, forgive me, Lord. I don't know who or what has come between you and Christ. but it or they are an idol. I was on a mission trip, come back, and I was following my wife around. I was still in, have visions of spiritual sugar plums dancing in my head. Run up on this devout woman. She said, "Oh, Brother Carter, I heard you made a mission trip." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." She said, "Did you see any heathens there?" And I said, "Oh, yes, ma'am." She said, "That's so sad." I said, "I've seen a lot more heathens since I've come back here." You understand the point I'm making? Be wise. Repent. If you're lukewarm, repent. If you need Christ in your life, repent. If you're struggling with a matter and you're not right before God in it, repent. Christ is our righteousness. He's made unto us righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Jesus Christ. Now you see how simple it is? Let me repeat myself. And then I'll try to quit. All of our doctrine, and I'm going to include all of our church policy, politics, politics. All of it. If we fail to turn men's minds from men to Christ, we fail. We're just going on with the routine. May be right. May be like the church at Corinth. Matter of the fact, if there's any of y'all that have been embraced or do embrace the so-called charismatics, they came behind in no gift. But their minds had been corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. Be wise. What? Open the door. Now you got these preachers of Christ standing at the door. When I first started preaching, I preached it as an evangelistic message. But the message is to church folk. There ain't no knob on the outside of that door. How is a lost man even going to know to get up and go to the door? He's dead in his trespasses and sin. But the saint knows. And you know if you're listening to Christ. You know if you want Him to speak to you. I read that Psalm 139. I just quoted part of it a while ago. David wrote, "This God knows my down sittings, my uprising. He has searched me. He knows my down sittings, my uprising. He understands my thought from afar." Read that chapter of the sovereign God of the universe, and David closes out what appeared to me a strange prayer. "Search me, O God, and know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." David knew about the Messiah, and he wrote about him. "The everlasting life is only in God's anointed, virgin-born King." I read that, Sister Leslie, and you know what I thought? Oh, yeah? That's what you want? And I got out of my chair down on my knees. And if you're a saint, that's what you want. What? Don't worry about what people think about you. Concern yourself about what God already knows. Not just what you do, but the secret intent of your heart. Confess it. If you don't come to Christ, it's going to come out in the judgment. Not just what you've done, but why you did it. And, of course, Christ is determined to save those that the Father gave Him. Preach this at old John Fletcher's funeral. "All that the Father giveth shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." Next verse. "This is the will of Him that sent me." Next verse. "This is the Father's will." Next verse. "This is the will of my Father that sent me." You know what the religious people did? They murmured. And church people still murmur at the sovereignty of God. They still swell up and get mad at you if you demand they believe in predestination, election, foreknowledge, regeneration, the new birth, all of these initial works of God that He does before the fruit and evidence start showing up in your life. Now verse 44 and 5 of that John 6. "He that hears and learns of the Father comes to me." Can I close with this, Pastor? Whatever it is that the Lord has spoken to you about tonight, whatever it is. Sometimes we Baptist people will say, "Is anybody here you got this, you got this, you got this. And then we criticize the so-called charismatic prophets. This is somebody here tonight, somebody here tonight, and they call off a list of stuff. Oh, that's me. But you know, if you have a need, come to Christ. Here's the revelation. Come to Christ. See how simple it is? We make it so complicated, so churchy. No wonder our friends and neighbors and family are so confused. We muddied the water ourselves. The simplicity that's in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful time with these sweet people that love you, surely love me. You let me come and preach to such able Christians, some of them veterans of the faith, above and beyond. And you're able to do more than we could ask or think. So we ask you for that tonight. Supply needs, meet needs. Go out to our families and do that thing that we cannot do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.